Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm joined by Sherry O'Connor, manager of Pelican Shops. Sherry represents the third generation of a family business that has been serving customers for decades through a unique combination of seasonal businesses. In the winter, Pelican is known for skiing, snowboarding, apparel, and outdoor adventure. And then in the summer, the focus shifts to pools, hot tubs, patio furniture, grills, and outdoor living. What makes Pelican especially interesting is its ability to continuously reinvent itself while remaining true to its roots. Through changing consumer habits, box store competition, e-commerce, weather challenges, and shifting generations, the business has continued to evolve while remaining family-owned and locally operated. Today, Sherry works alongside family members from both the third and fourth generations, helping guide the business into its next chapter while balancing tradition, innovation, and the realities of a highly seasonal retail environment. Sherry, welcome to Growing Up B2B.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you today. This is exciting because this is a very unique business model that you have, and I think there's going to be some great takeaways. So for our listeners who may not be familiar with Pelican Shops, in your own words, what is Pelican all about?
Fun, family, lifestyle. I think we aim to sell lifestyle and, you know, adventure.
Okay. And for all seasons, I guess, right?
All seasons, winter, spring, summer, fall, Pelican's got it all.
that's our
tagline. Yeah. Play you the jingle sometime.
So before we go too further, I've always wondered, and for the benefit of our listeners, I've known Pelican Shops. That's a local operation to where our business is for many years across many generations in my family. So it's a well-regarded, well-recognized establishment and well-loved by those that have patronized it over many years. But I always wondered, why the Pelican? Where did the iconic brand come from, and how has it stood the test of time? So why the Pelican? Who came up with that?
Well, yeah, from my understanding, and as the story's been told to me, my grandfather, who started the business, wanted a unique name and something that stood out. And somewhere along the way, he stumbled along Pelican, the bird. And and the meaning behind the bird, Pelican, because of his big beak, if you will, you know, and he can hold lots of fish. So, you know, abundance, prosperity, you know, and being fortunate that way. So
where it came from.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And that resonated with him. And I guess it resonated across the next generations too.
Yep. And it's, you know, everyone remembers Pelican, you know, It's unique.
now it's iconic, right?
Yeah.
So, again, as I referenced before, a unique structure, four locations, but all owned and operated by, as I understand it, different individuals or family members. So tell me a little bit about that. And for our viewers, how does that arrangement work? And what are some of the benefits or the challenges of that kind of model?
So there's four locations independently owned and operated by different family members. And although separate, we do collaborate together daily, weekly, monthly on various things from marketing to buying to problem solving, but yet still allowing the independence of each store to be, if you will, their own little kingdom to do what they want to do. So it kind of allows the best of both worlds to operate independently, but yet still have the support and the structure of a larger organization.
That's interesting. So, how do you decide when something is, how do I put this? When you could act autonomously from the group and when you needed to abide by, I'll just say, the group's position on whether it be a policy, a purchase, an investment in marketing, or any other type of decision making that might be impactful to the brand in total.
Right. Well, a lot of it's been set in stone, so to speak, for many years. As far as the marketing collaboration, the website, certain type of print or other media, anything that might deviate from that, of course, there's conversation, and it can be as casual as a group text or, sitting down and having a meeting. The buying, we do all buy separately because we are independently owned and operated, but we do work very closely together and try to model the same stuff, understanding, that we are to represent as a brand and what we do. So.
So, because that's one area I would have thought that the collective would have been advantageous if you were to do consolidated buying as a group total. So do you do some of that with the
Yes,
manufacturers?
absolutely. Absolutely, yes. And it's, a challenge for them to understand independently owned and operated, but yet one. So, but we've done a pretty good job over the years.
It sounds like you have a very established policies and protocols for how you deal with the group, based on what you're saying. But one last question on that before we kind of move on. So if I walked into Pelican in White House, which is the store that I'm most familiar with, versus the one in maybe I think there's one in East Hanover, or I think somewhere in North Jersey, would I have a how close a line would the experience be that I would have, as a consumer? Like, would I have a very similar experience? Would I see very different merchandising, or would it be more or less a similar experience with some nuanced differences?
You would see merchandise is going to be very similar. Although it will carry probably 80-90% of the same brands, and within that specific products as well. But there are going to be different nuances, in what we carry. For instance, our Morris Plains store that you reference has a very large water sports department, and they cater to that more than us. Ours is a little bit smaller. Of course, the buildings are very different if you've ever visited any of the Pelicans. The White House one is the original one my grandfather built, and it's just grown over the years in many directions in many ways. So it's a little bit older. You walk into Morris Plains, it's was a tennis court years ago that they turned
Really?
into retail. Yeah, and
I
it's
didn't know that.
huge. Yeah,
Yeah, I didn't
it's
know
a
that.
huge building. Our East Brunswick location is on a very busy road on Route 18. It's a little bit smaller. So, yeah. So you'll
So.
experience same products, same stuff like that, but the overall look and feel might vary a tiny bit.
I see. I see. Interesting. So, getting back to your journey, because it would seem that for Sherry, it wasn't a straight line right to Pelican. You shared that after college, you were working in Boston, so clearly looking on taking a different track. But then you hit a point where you kind of had a heart to heart, I guess, with your dad, and you said, "Hey, I'm coming home." Talk about that. Bring yourself back to that moment for us. What was going through your mind at that stage in your career, and what was it that was calling you back?
So I went to college in Boston. I loved it up there. I got a job. It was a good job. I really, at that point in my life in college, wanted nothing to do with the family business. I was going to go and do my own thing, which was great. A great experience. But somewhere along the way, working that corporate job and having to count vacation days. And I didn't like that. So I started questioning, what am I doing here? Why am I here when I've got this business at home? And so that was the turning point. So I called up Dad and said, "Hey, I think I want to come home and work at Pelican." And of course he said, "Sure, come on home. When are you coming?" And that started the transition.
So I have to ask, had he approached you about that before? Like, had your dad ever mentioned it, or had he figured it out as like, why don't you come back here, or why don't you work here? Had that ever been discussed, or was it really not up until that point where?
Probably was, but he always, honored and respected my desire to, stay up there and get different experiences. And to be completely honest, it was encouraged. It was always encouraged to work somewhere else, because that otherworldly experience you can bring back and, use it to your benefit. So, it was never discouraged not to do that.
That's I mean, it's a tough business, on the on at least on I perceive it to be on the consumer side. On the B2B side, I think, working with the contractors and some of the professionals, I see that. But, dealing with such a panorama of consumers,
Can have its challenges.
it's gotta have its challenges, and must take a certain type of persona to, navigate that and maintain that professionalism and kindness and everything else. So, tip my hat to that for sure.
Anyone in retail understands completely.
I'm sure. I'm sure. Now, upon coming home, your dad didn't exactly say, "Hey, you're going to run things." You, in fact, started at the bottom. I think
Correct. Yes,
one of your
absolutely.
first tasks when we talked was, "Hey, the dumpster, the recycling needs to be stomped down." So you were that was your task at that time, but also along the way, still rotating through the different departments. So talk about that experience. You were able to see the business literally from the ground up. So what did that give to you as you moved forward in your journey with Pelican?
Well, it's important to understand every aspect. And I never, wanted to walk in and, be at the top. But there's no value in that, and certainly no long-term value. And I'm the type of I need to understand everything. So yeah, rotated through all the departments, from the first few weeks, not knowing a thing. The easiest things to do were the manual things, stomp the dumpster, clean up, and then gradually working into sales from the pool department and selling chemicals and doing water tests to the ski department and doing rentals, and then selling on the floor and then over to clothing. And then we had the patio department. So it was really just a rotation of understanding how each aspect works, because you need that base.
Yeah, for sure. So every generation inherits a different set of challenges. So with your grandfather, it was starting and building this entity called Pelican. And your father, when we spoke before this program, you said dealt with both expansion and some contraction pressures too. So what would you say is the defining challenge of your generation, as the third, and then some family members who are stepping in as fourth? What's your challenge?
Most obviously, the dawn of the internet, in the 90s, late night, early mid to late 90s into the 2000s, we didn't have a website, so had to start a website, and then e-commerce. So I mean, most obviously that, and then just building upon everything that they've built and taking what's there and making it better. Changes in procedures and staffing and just really fine-tuning. And most notably, the White House store. Never had point of sale until literally 3 years ago. We were pen and paper. So, as of most recent, transitioning the store to point of sale, which was successful, thankful to a wonderful team that bought in to do it. So,
I didn't realize that.
oh
And
yeah.
when you say it now, and I think back to a few purchases back in the day, you're right. Yeah, it was written out on paper. It
Yeah.
didn't occur to me at the moment, but I'm like, I guess if I look back, I'm like, yeah, that's interesting. They're writing it down.
Yeah. We are probably one of the last of the Mohicans who did that.
So one of the things, and I think it's gives me an appreciation for that 360 learning you did coming in, because you had to, because this is really the fascinating thing about this business model, at least in my humble opinion, is that every year you're kind of operating two businesses. You're flipping the inventory, I don't know if you're necessarily flipping staff, but they're either cross-chain trained or some new are coming in by season. The merchandising, the customer experience is certainly shifting to some degree. So talk about that, the challenge between kind of rotating from, okay, we're in high winter season, okay, now let's make the switch, we're in summer season. What does that look like, and how do you make that work?
It actually, the shift in the seasons dictates it and makes it easy in that respect. For the sake of argument, it's every 6 months. We've got 6 months of summer, so we'll change, end of March and beginning of April, and flip back over in September after Labor Day, from summer to winter. And the buying patterns change, end of winter. People are done. They're looking for summer. Okay, we watch the weather. All right, now's the time. So we know within a week or two on either end, when this flip is going to happen. And we've got people on staff who have been with us, 20 and 30 years. So we've got it down to a science now. We can flip that store in a week. It's
That's
a
pretty cool.
lot of work, but we can do it. And it amazes me every year.
And
Even
the
being there
team,
for 30 years, it amazes me.
well, yeah, I mean, again, as an outsider looking in, it's just, it seems almost daunting, to do that. But again, if you've got that model, and the model is down, and the systems are down, and the processes are down to make that happen every year, as you say, I mean, that's pretty amazing. So I'd have to think then the team is heavily cross-trained. Is that correct? Like, they know, and so they're all good with oscillating between the seasons. That's pretty fluid with the team as well.
And they have our our ski department. They'll go to more or less the pool department. The clothing department turns into our patio department, and so they know both sides of the business, and they can go back and forth. So.
So I want to get back to something you were touching on before, just across the last 30 years, the dramatic change of retail. Thinking of the previous generations, certainly your grandfather didn't have to deal with e-commerce. There wasn't a thing called Amazon. Box stores weren't really a thing yet. Plus, you've got the shift in consumer behaviors to be a little bit more on demand, want it now, due to e-commerce. So what, through all of that, what do you think has allowed Pelican to remain relevant and to remain strong? Well, so many others who have tried to venture into your industry space, either on the summer side or the winter side, or both, have disappeared.
I think it's a combination of things, a lot of good luck and the good Lord looking down on us, hard work by the team, and understanding and shifting with what's going on too, and adapting. We do sell, especially in our summer months, we do sell luxury items, and they're bigger ticket and larger. So those are really hard to buy online. You can today, but people want to come in and touch and feel and sit down and talk to someone. So we offer that experience and that expertise. And we're like real people. If there's a problem, they can come in and talk to us and we can help resolve it. The winter time poses a little bit more of a challenge with the internet and the big, big box of the world. It's definitely more competitive. But again, we've got our experts that have been there for 20 plus years and they love what they do and they love talking about it. So people know they can come in and get that. And weather's huge, especially in the winter. Now, on a Friday, you decide you want to go skiing for the weekend, you can't order it online and have it. So we've got that on our side.
And I can certainly attest to the subject matter expertise of the team. just whether it be winter or summer, and I've gone in both, and I'm always really impressed by the range of knowledge, of I think I was even buying like lounge chairs, and the gentleman who was helping us was like, well, you don't want that one if you're going to have like a lot of sun profile. It's probably, you probably want, he was thinking about things that we weren't even thinking about. I'm like, oh, wow, that was a good point. I didn't even think of that. He's like, yeah, you probably want to do this. And on the flip side, it was the same in terms of fitting for snowboard boots and the, saying, okay, how do you ride? And all right, what do you want? And what do you, and really kind of diagnosing sort of what I wanted and landing on the perfect boot, like very quickly, so.
Well, listen, it's about getting the person and the best fit for them, whatever it is, because for us, we want a positive experience so that you come back and that you tell your friends, because that's at the core. Without the consumer, we're nothing, literally.
And a lot of the items you stock, I would have to say it's, yeah, you could buy them online, but it's most certainly a bit of a roll of the dice because they're things that you really need to try on and be fitted for or really need to understand in more of a physical space than a flat screen. So but going back to the business, it wasn't all up and up. You had remarked that there were times where the business was hanging on, and whether it be to weather, economic conditions, or other challenges. But in the face of uncertainty or challenges, how does the business operate? How do you operate when there's challenges? How do you what's your mode when you see uncertainty in the forecast, if you will, or in terms of the economic conditions? How do you manage the hard times, Sherry?
Really buckling down, and if we're fortunate enough to be able to foresee bumpy roads coming ahead, strategizing on how we're going to tackle that, whether it is we if you came off a winter where it didn't snow and you're stuck with a lot of inventory, all right, how are we going to fix this for next season? Not, buy a lot, how are we going to turn it? You basically, do what you have to do and pull from all resources. We're fortunate that we have the ability to change seasons too. So if it is a bad winter, a good summer can help rectify that and isn't, a death call.
That's true. And you always have the next season to look forward to. So, okay, hey, we didn't kill it here. We can kill it there. And, I often wonder too, if I remember it was in the midst of the 08-09 recession, and I was out at Blue Mountain, and I was it's a local mountain to in PA, talking to a gentleman, and we were just having a conversation on the lift, and said, I'm surprised the mountain is full, given the economic conditions. I would have thought people would be, maybe cutting back. And his comment was interesting. He said, well, people will cut back on a lot of things, but if they love to ski and snowboard, they're probably not going to cut back on that. And I was like, that's interesting.
It's
That's
fair.
true. And I'm thinking, well, here you are and here I am. We're obviously not cutting back and still making trips to the mountain and still getting our gear. And so, I kind of wonder if you have a perspective on that. Is that line of business a little bit insulated from,
A little
people,
bit, certainly a little bit. You're always going to have your diehards and your people who are going to go out west and have their trips and, are set on doing that. Hey, listen, look at COVID. We thought the world was going to end. We didn't know what was going to happen. And what ha it the world, you know, our business exploded. Everyone wanted to be outdoors. I mean, in the beginning, I was thinking, oh my gosh, how are we going to pay our bills? How am I going to pay my mortgage? And, you know, so people do continue to surprise me in that respect. But if you love something, you're going to keep doing it. So.
That was definitely a is the sky falling moment, I think, for a lot of us. And lo and behold, the sky didn't fall, you know. The sun rose and we went at it again, and everything kind of, you know, it was definitely hard times for a lot, and but we made it through. And it's interesting that I guess everybody turned to the outdoors, and that was good, and you were there to support them, you know, and figured out a way to continue to staff the store and operate through all the distancing and all that, you know, masking and maintain and carry through. So let me touch on a subject that's becoming part of every conversation, most certainly often talked about on this show, and that's artificial intelligence, AI. How are you thinking about AI right now, whether from marketing, the customer experience, inventory planning, or maybe the future of retail or the future of Pelican? How is AI showing up for you right now?
It's showing up all over the place. I mean, I use it daily as far as, I mean, as simple as give me a title for this email blast that we're sending out, to uploading reports on sales to determine, you know, where I should market to next, where are my holes, where have I, you know, where am I saturated, you know, to creating images. It's a little bit crazy, how much it can be used and how much you do start using it more and more.
Are there certain, is there one platform or certain platforms, Sherry, that you find are your go-tos, or do you use a multitude of AI platforms currently?
A multitude. I use chat mostly. I know some of my other guys. Perplexity.
Perplexity,
Yeah, it's another one. So it
It
just
took me
really.
about 6 months to say that right, too, by the way.
Yeah. So it really just depends. But yeah, you know, it's amazing. You can ask it anything and, you know, shoots out answers. Of course, it's only 70% right, so to speak. So. You still have to use some judgment.
In fact, I think I probably did run through you know, when I was looking for a new pair of snowboarding boots, I probably did run some queries. Yet it was your sales professional at Pelican that took me in the right direction, and I don't think that the brand was even on the radar of chat. So, you
Well,
know,
and
to
that's
your point,
interesting. You will find that more and more of our the searches coming to our websites come from chat and AI, you know.
Well, that leads me to my next question, because that's something obviously you're very carefully watching, which is consumer behavior, at least as it relates to the lines of business and the seasonal lines that you operate in. Are you seeing that more? Like, are you seeing consumers, are they coming in? Is it clear that they've done more homework, that they've done
Absolutely.
AI homework? Okay. And how do you see them, the way they shop, the way they decision make, compared to maybe even 5 years ago, kind of just pre-AI? Is it, have you seen a major shift, or is it just that they're coming in like more informed? Like, what are you seeing?
Oh, they're definitely more informed and more knowledgeable, which is good and bad. But yeah, they've done their homework, and you know, the challenge has been to communicate it and make sure everyone on the team understands this as well. You know, 5, 10 years ago, we knew more. Now the consumer walks in and they know just as much sometimes, maybe not some of the nuances, and that's where we've got to be better in communicating that.
I would say that, you know, 5+ years ago, the balance of power in terms of who holds the knowledge was tipped more to the buyer than the brand or the seller. And so that power is now kind of turned into almost like superpower with AI, and the ability to cross-reference, cross-check, and do so at a rapid pace.
But
with
one
some
thing
of it.
AI won't take away is the personal experience.
Yeah. Or the
So.
judgment or the wisdom that comes from walking the path and knowing the products. And, certainly in a lot of your winter side, a lot of those folks are avid, users of said products. They snowboard, they ski, they cross country, they skate, they do, all of the activities. So they're not just speaking from, text knowledge, they're speaking from personal knowledge of being on the mountain or being out in the outdoors and knowing things that, where judgment and wisdom and taste and prudence don't always show up the way they need to in AI yet.
That's right.
Looking ahead, so now your niece Kelsey, she's in the business. She's representing the fourth generation. What do you hope the business looks like for her and maybe even for the next generation 5, 10 years from now?
Well, yeah, that we've got my niece Kelsey. I work with cousins, and even my son's summer job, he's working at his dad's store in East Brunswick.
Okay.
And really just continuing to grow the business, create solid foundations, so that they can, still be prosperous and, so that the business is there for them. That's really my goal. I in 10, 20 years, I don't know, who knows where I'll be, but I hope it's there for, my team that's put all that time and effort into it. They're like family to me too. They've helped build this business. Without them, none of it would have been possible. So, myself, along with them, just working to make Pelican be the best thing that it can be.
Awesome. So as you look to the future, and maybe let's bring that around to the here and now. So today, what's really exciting you about either the business, about the industry you're in, about the product lines that you're representing? What's exciting you right now? What's making you say, "Hey, this is fun," or "This is exciting"?
I think just the daily challenges and the daily interactions, and making it the best it can be. I mean, I love to walk in and see what the challenge is going to be for the day, and tackle it. I'm a list girl. And then even more than that, being able to look, a month, 2 months, 3 months down the line, figuring out where we want to be and the path and how we're going to get there, and working with the team on how we're going to get there. That's what's exciting to me. So, not any particular product or whatever. That's that.
So it's more of the strategy of managing the business and the planning and basically saying, all right, let's chart the vision, let's chart the course, and let's
Yeah.
figure out the steps to get there.
Absolutely.
Okay. On the flip side of that, as you look to the now or the future, is it what's concerning to you? What's the types of things that keep you up at night sometimes?
All the uncertainties, the economic downturn. Is it going to snow next winter? What if I run out of product? It snows too much, or my supplier can't ship. So, not any one particular thing, but if you sit there and let your mind run, you can come up with a whole host of things. So I try not to go there, Ed.
Yeah. Probably safe because it sounds like a lot of things that are beyond the scope of control. Can't control the weather, can't necessarily control the greater movings of the economy or what's happening from a political standpoint. But you certainly can control, this season and how you're going to show up, right? And how you're going to ready yourself for next. Yeah.
Correct.
Makes sense. Last question. If any of our listeners wanted to learn more about you or more about Pelican Shops or stop in and check it out, what's the best way to do that?
Stopping into any one of the stores in White House, Morris Plains, East Brunswick, or Quakertown, PA. visit us at our website, pelicanshops.com, or give us a call. So.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, to wrap up, Sherry, what stands out is in this particular journey and your story is really the power of adaptability and the versatility and the agility of the organization to truly shape change every 6 months and then shape change back. I mean, that's really for an outs for you, it's every day and that's just natural. But for an outsider looking in, that's pretty remarkable what you do every
I
year.
appreciate that.
And not just that, but also adapting to the changing markets, the technologies, the consumer expectations, season after season, generation after generation now with the fourth has entered the building. So that's exciting too. And just knowing how to continue to create that experience and keep customers happy and keep them coming back. In many cases, I'm sure, like in my family, you've served multiple generations of customer in the same family. So I'm sure that's
Been very
exciting to watch that journey. So Pelican's story as a whole is a reminder that longevity in business is rarely about standing still. It's about staying curious, staying relevant, and having the courage to evolve while remaining true to who you are. So Sherry, thank you so much for sharing your story and your perspective. Again, we've been speaking with Sherry O'Connor of Pelican Shops, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. And this has been another episode of Growing Up B2B. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Sherry, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Ed.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.